Blog Talk Radio.
This is Tom Hayes from Blog Talk Radio. My show is Upbeat, Wednesday, October 23rd, an exciting day. Why is it exciting, Frank?
Why is it exciting? Well, it's beautiful, sunshiny day, and let's hope it's a sunshiny night and hopefully a sunshiny result when the Red Sox play their first game
of the World Series. Another World Championship being theatered in Boston, Beantown, USA, and we're bragging a little bit, aren't we?
Yeah, I love to brag.
Great, and I see that Mr. Dakota is holding here. Mr. Dakota, are you there? Mr. Dakota, why aren't we hearing you? Mr. Dakota? Oh, let's try this. Let's see. No, I don't. We don't get him. Maybe we'll have to call back in. We have a question mark beside his thing. Yeah, it's awful. He knows about this. It's awful to have this dead time. As he's going to call back in. Probably using that cheap phone of his. You know, we're kidding, but we have to talk about the progress of the lemon tree.
Well, I really wanted to talk about the lemon tree. There's been like a whole bunch of lights gone on the lemon tree. The lemon tree was like $35. the lights, $335.
Priceless.
And you know.
No results. No results. Let's try Mr. Dakota right again. Mr. Dakota, you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that new phone is working great.
The new phone is working great. Somebody hung up on me.
I'm kind of important to
be hung up on, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry. We apologize. But whatever. How are you today? Beautiful morning here in Boston. How are things in Portland?
Oh, nippy. A little nippy this morning. But I'm alive. I had a busy few days.
Yeah.
I told you lots of it. You know, first of all, you know, I mentioned a story about my poor tropical fish, Loretta, the one who was the queen of the kissing guamis and the one I used to breed worldwide famous pedigree kissing guamis, passed away. And, you know, because I'm such a good guy, I thought I'd return Loretta from when she came. So I hired a boat and took her out to throw her back in the ocean, and I told this story last week, and I'm holding Loretta, and the captain's cat is at my feet drooling, and just before I was going to throw Loretta over with a nice wreath, I dropped it on the floor, and quickly this damn cat ate Loretta, so I picked the cat up by the tail and whipped him into the ocean with Loretta in him, and they both now reside in the sea. Now, the captain was upset, but I thought he had him straightened out. But didn't they get a call from his lawyer this week? He's attempting to sue me. Apparently, he's got in touch with PETA, you know, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And they got like 14 lawyers trying to do something with me. So I called this captain this week, and, you know, he's a reasonable guy. I'm a reasonable guy. And I said, hey, why don't we just work this out? Or you're going to end up sleeping with the fishes, if you get my meaning. And apparently all that's been dropped, so I'm thrilled to death.
Well, that's
Steve,
good.
If you can work these things out, you know, you just keep a level head. There's no need to get crazy. We just had a little chat, and you decided to drop the case.
Right? I'm sure you still have...
Oh, no, I made
know,
that abundantly clear before I talked to him how connected I was. So, you know, he was reasonable, so we're all done with that. But I was... You know, it just
Great.
Made the loss of Loretta even worse that someone would actually do that to me after, you know, I'd been
well,
so good and hired
as you
for that
were
job.
As you were to Loretta, he was to his cat. I mean, we have to kind of understand that.
Yeah, but I, you know, Loretta never ate a cat.
That's true. That's true. We have to take care of these predators and protect ourselves. Anything else happening up there in Portland that we should be aware of?
Well, I, you know, this past week, since last we talked, I was back to Las Vegas for the annual Tommy Dakota Lookalike Contest. And that's held every year in Pahrump, as you know, where I got my start at Bronco Bob's. Of course,
right,
Bronco
right.
Bob. Bronco Bob's and dead now, but his son took it over and now called Bronco Bobby's. And you know what? Those two strippers, those two 50-year-old strippers that were there when I started,
yeah,
which was a long, they're still there. They're like 100 years old each, and they don't look much worse. So it tells you what they were, but they wildly,
well,
they're wildly popular.
So
they're not, they look that good anymore, but they danced with real gusto, you know, and everyone appreciates the fact that these 200-year-old strippers can still move at all. So everyone had a good time, but the as usual, I do the judging, and this year I was also in it, and I came in second. The guy who won was great. Jeez, great. He was absolutely wonderful. A couple of small things. One, though, he was a Pakistani. And second, he was only like 4 feet tall. Other than that, he was a dead ringer for Tommy Dakota, and I know why I lost to him. He was really good. But the real story lies in my trip home.
Go ahead.
Before coming back home, I had to stop in New York to do some business, and I jumped on this plane, and the weather got bad, and they talked about a layover in Denver. So we fly to Denver, and we land, and I'm supposed to, you know, just be there a short time, and well, it turns out I'm there a long time. So what I do is I'm wandering around, and we've got a kind of one spot in the airport. You can't get around. Very nice airport, very plush. And I decide, I get a little ride ahead of me, so I better go to the men's room, you know. And
yeah,
I go in. It's a giant restaurant. Jeez, it's huge. You know, it's like 40 stalls and another room full of sinks and all this other stuff, and pretty much empty. And I say, well, it's nice. It's spotless, absolutely spotless. And I go in there and I find a comfortable stall and. I always look around on the floor because you never know what's on the floor, especially if you're going to kind of drop your trousers. You know, this is a man thing. Women never touch the seat, apparently. But, you know, so I always look, and I looked around, there's nothing. And I take care of what I had to do, which was really a nice trip home because I was no longer under pressure. And I pull my pants up, and I'm walking out, and I'm out the door, actually, and walking back toward my waiting area, and I just feel a little kind of damp. Doesn't feel quite right. And I reach behind me and you know, I touch the back of my pants.
Yeah.
I'm soaking wet. I'm soaked.
Oh.
I'm soaking wet. And I don't know what it is, you know, because I've had this problem before. Could be anything. Could be water. Could be some disease-ridden urine. Could be anything. So, at first I said, let me go check. Let me go check. So I go back to the stall. And I don't see a whole lot of anything on the floor. There was a little water in the back close to a pipe, which led me to believe, well, if anything, maybe it's water. But I don't know that for sure. But I go back and I sit down, and I'm not going to do anything about it because maybe it's just water and no problem. And I said, well, this is going to be a long trip home. It's going to be real uncomfortable because I'm going to be sitting, you know, in those damn – I fly coach now because, you know, I don't have the money I used to, and, you know, it's – they kind of, you know, there was like 2 inches between my nose and the seat in front of me, and it really wedged in there. And I'm not going to make it any worse by having a wet ass for 3 or 4 hours. So I said, plus I don't know what this is, and I don't want to take any chances. So I go back to the men's room and see, what am I going to do about this? I'm not sure if it's water or not, but better safe than sorry. I'm not going to sit in urine for all those hours. So I'm going to just rinse my pants out a little bit, you know. But I'm probably God damned if I'm going to take my pants off in a giant restroom in an airport that's pretty much empty. I don't know who's in there, you know. So I decide maybe I can just throw a little water on the back of them. And, you know, dilution is always the solution if you've done something like that, you know. Just water it down. And
never heard
so
that one.
Sink. Oh, yeah.
Dilution,
yeah.
Let the listeners
dilution is always the solution, yeah, yeah.
Duluth's the
solution. So I go over to the sink room. I told you it's as big as the urine-soaked floors of the stalls. And all the sinks work with that, you know, motion. You kind of wave your hand in front of them, and they come on for about 2 seconds and then go off. I mean,
right.
It's very cute. And so I go over there, and I'm wetting my hand and just touching it to the back of my pants. It's not working out real well. It's just not working out well. So I look down the end, and there's a handicap sink that's real low.
Oh, yeah,
you know, it's
yeah.
Real
right.
low. And I said, oh, this is perfect. So I go, and I sit in the sink. It's that low. And I put the water on, and I'm wet in the back of my pants. You know, dilution is the solution. But the problem is, since all these faucets are run by motion, I have to spread my legs in every second or two. Yeah.
Hey, Tommy, this is very suspenseful. Can we hold that? Because I think we have a caller. Can you hold
it? Okay, you're going to break the drama, but go right ahead.
Hold that, but we have to grab this. They come. Hi, this is Tom Hayes, Blog Talk Radio. It's Wednesday, October 23rd. We have a caller. Could you identify yourself, please?
Oh, my God. Hi. I can't believe I got through. This is awesome. Oh, my God.
Is this Buddy? Is this my old pal, Buddy?
This is Anthony Donatelli.
Tony.
Anthony Donatelli. Oh, my God. How could you not remember? Thomas Dakota, I cannot believe you. I cannot believe you. You are absolutely amazing. Oh, my God. Oh, how long has it been? A solid... I'm going to go 15 years. Oh, my God. I can't wait. Oh, my God. All right. Oh, my God. I'm getting all...
He
okay,
really
just,
changed.
I'm sorry. Wait. Oh, my gosh. I did not expect that. Wow. Did not see that coming. Oh, my God.
Okay. You all right?
I'm okay now. Oh, my gosh. Can I just say that I had the privilege of dressing Mr. Dakota in some of the most amazing tuxedos that I could have ever imagined from almost day one as choreographer, as designer, as director. I am absolutely in awe of what my life was able to become because of Mr. Thomas Dakota.
I can never love you. Your talent.
All his friends call him Tommy. All his pals call him TD. But to me, it was Mr. Thomas. Oh my gosh. All right, wait.
Tom Hayes, it was this guy who changed my Tommy, T-O-M-M-Y, to T-O-M-M-I-E.
Really?
I've used all these years. Thanks to him, yeah.
Anthony, let's get the last name right for the listeners. This has to go down in the log.
Donatelli.
Great, Anthony.
Donatelli.
Where are you from, Anthony, originally?
Originally from North Providence, Rhode Island. Little tiny town, North Providence, Rhode Island. And from there, to be able to travel the world because of this iconic individual who took me as an innovator, as someone who was, and you know something, back then they called him idea man. I wasn't an idea man. I was what we call in the biz a conceptualator. I was a conceptualator because we took from conception and made it happen.
Yep.
And that's a visionary.
Yep.
That's a visionary. Someone who can see past everything in front of you.
I want to tell you something.
My very first show, which was an absolute flop, and I'm embarrassed to say it, but you know something? You learn from your mistakes. I put together this huge montage of black and white checkers for Rosemary Clooney.
Mm.
And I blew it because it just made her look bigger than she was, which wasn't nice for anybody.
Wasn't that big then, yeah. I remember.
She was tiny, but she looked huge in checkers. Huge.
Yeah.
You wanted to go Knight to King, Rook 4. That's how big she looked.
Was,
Chubby Checkers?
Frank has asked if she was Chubby Checkers.
That's ridiculous. Who is he? What a cutie. That's funny.
That's Frankie
anyway.
Fabulous.
Oh, wow.
You remember my agent, Frankie Fabulous?
That's stardom right there. You're born with stardom. That's called being born with stardom. You go Frankie Fabulous. Who's playing the recorder?
I think that Tommy, once in a while, Anthony, Tommy is okay, but he, you know, once in a while has a lapse. So I just want to apologize for him. He's not the man.
No apology necessary, because you know something? I remember right after that show, somebody handed me an LP. Remember the LPs?
Oh, sure.
45?
Yeah.
Was your first song, You.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
song brought me to my knees. I want to do a little something. I'm not the greatest singer in the world, but
yes,
I want you to know something. I have never forgot, and I never forgot the words to You.
Yeah.
And it went something like this. I'm going to see if I can get through this.
Are you all right, Anthony? You're all right?
I'm just clearing my voice. You. Over there, sitting by the bar. Looking very far, but you, grabbed a hold of me, and now I'm never, ever, 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 ever gonna be the same without you.
Hooray! Very good, very good, very good. You know,
oh,
you're very Cole Porter-ish. I thought it was a Cole Porter song.
Wonderful.
You know something, Cole Porter, however gifted, however talented, had nothing on you.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing.
Talent, yeah. Yeah.
Nothing
yeah,
on
right.
you.
I'm sorry.
You're
I,
amazing.
I played that
because
yeah,
you know,
I just...
I'm going to tell you something. One of the greatest moments in my career with Mr. Dakota was this. We were... actually traveling on a bus. We were traveling on a bus. This is like early mid-50s, traveling on a bus, and we're going to, I think we had just left New Brunswick, and we're on our way to Stamford, Connecticut to do this big haul in Stamford, Connecticut.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, I mean wicked winds out of the north, south, east, west. I'm not sure where, but they were wicked.
Wicked.
And they were blowing the bus everywhere. And the next thing you know, Tommy says, you know something? Let's grab a bite to eat. There's this little tiny diner in the middle of nowhere. We pull up. The bus pulls up. Everybody gets off. We go into the – we own the diner. And what does Mr. D do? What does he do? He puts on an absolute amazing show for all the patrons. I mean, there were like – four or five people there, two cooks, and a line guy. And he puts these people at awe. And we are in absolute amazement going, not only did he put on the greatest show ever, no one recorded it, no one is ever going to talk about it, but it changed the diner's life forever. And now if you go...
as I recall,
And now if you go by, you'll see, are you ready for this? TD's Diner.
Ah,
they
what an honor.
Commercials.
What an honor. Unbelievable.
It is an honor. It's an honor to even speak with you, sir.
It's those kind
after
of people who
years,
made my career.
It is
it's
an honor to be to actually be able to say I was able to do three dance numbers that we used over and over and over again until it was absolutely dead, till the routine was dead, and then you asked me to do it three more times.
Yeah.
And I said, this man knows how to raise the dead.
That's
this
right.
man does. This man
I'm sorry did. I'm sorry I played my instrument, but every now and then I get this overwhelming need to put it in my mouth.
No, that's
right.
quite
right.
right. Listen,
yeah.
there's
that's
a heart, there's a song in your heart and a melody in your head, and music notes on the tip of your big toe.
That's right. And
that is an entertainer.
In my throat. Yeah.
That's an entertainer right there. Mm. Listen, I've got to go. I just wanted to say hi. Thank you so much for the years of incredible entertainment, music, professionalism, and also for helping my career. A little known nobody. Yet I was known, yet I wasn't. But I was a conceptualator, knowing somehow, some way, my dreams would come true. And you know what? You made that happen, sir.
Oh, please, you made that happen.
I cannot thank you enough for that. And I will be indebted to you forever. Forever. Because you're amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Anthony.
We thank you, Anthony. Tommy, you want to say goodbye to Anthony?
Oh, yeah. Anthony, it was so good to hear from you. I'd like to have, we could have lunch sometime and we'll discuss that money I owe you. He's gone. What a shame. This man was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. He always wore red. Red shoes, red shirts, red pants, red socks. Even had, way before his time, his hair was red, of course. And this was his trademark. He's absolutely
And they called him Blue.
Like, that's exactly right. He's famous. He's famous all over Vegas and probably the world.
His nickname was
so good to hear from him. He's very emotional, as you saw. But, you know, he's a delicate soul. The man's an artist. He made my career. He really did. We haven't talked much about those kind of people, but he made my career.
I'm surprised. This is like our 18th, 19th episode, and we've never heard of Anthony before.
Yeah. I didn't know Anthony was still alive, to tell you the truth. He had this problem. Apparently he was on his knees so much that he did something to both. He had both knees replaced, and he kind of wore out the second set, too.
Wow.
And I thought he ended up crippled.
Hey, wait a minute. Tommy, I think we're blessed here with another call. Hang on. Let me see. This is Tom Hayes, Blog Talk Radio, Boston, Massachusetts. Do we have another caller?
Mr. Hayes, is it?
Yes, it is, sir.
Mr. Hayes, how are you? Yes, sir.
I'm
Mr. Dakota.
Go ahead.
This is Tommy Dakota. Who's this? This is Tommy Dakota.
Tommy Dakota, I'm going to tell you right now, I am surprised you're not locked up the way you should have been.
What are you talking about?
I'm going to tell you, you're a talented young man, but you got to remember tonight, November 15th, 1960, I think it was 1968, 69.
Uh-oh,
yeah. You're driving like a banshee. I don't know, like 2 o'clock in the morning, you and a young fellow friend of yours, and you guys are driving like bats out of hell. Just driving like crazy people. And you're coming through my little neck of the woods in northern Vermont. I think it was at the time, and it was like
Northern Vermont? Is that the accent you have, Northern Vermont? Is that?
Well, I've been all over, my friend.
Okay.
And I want to tell you something. I had the privilege of serving in the Vermont State Police.
I think I remember you now.
After they moved me up from Louisiana, that's right. It's Lieutenant Colonel Sergeant.
Oh, God,
And you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, it's something about having a name like when you're born with something, you just know, man, something's going to happen with this dude right here.
Mm.
And that's what happened to me. My last name is Sergeant. I knew somehow I would serve mankind in some way, legally or in the armed forces or something, always playing with guns. Shot my grandmother's leg one time by accident at the age of 3. Pellet gun, took out her entire calf. She's a little lady.
I remember you now. I certainly remember you.
Pulled you right over. I remember you driving like a crazy person.
Well, I was,
crazy.
Yeah. Well, I was
you must be coming
drugs,
from a show or something up there in Canada.
Yeah,
and you just driving like a bat out of hell.
Yeah. You still wear that interesting police uniform, you know, the one with the big, tall, white, your conical hat. You still wear that? Because that's what I found interesting.
You get me confused with the Pope, brother. I'm going to tell you right now, you got to stop drinking.
It was all white, and it had letters on the front.
I'm going to tell you right now, I remember when I pulled you over, I remember pulling you over, as a matter of fact, because I was in awe. You know, you were a big star back then, and not that you're not now. You were a monster star. Your star was illuminating, and I couldn't even the shine off your face was so it was brilliant. Brilliant is not putting it into context the way it should be.
Well, I remember you well. You had those initials
shiny.
On your
you
shirt.
You were like a shiny. You were a shiny little penny, is what you were. A shiny little nickel penny, little half dollar. Anyway, I remember pulling you over because you guys were going crazy, and it was
starting
to snow. I remember that night. And I remember I pulled you over. You know why I pulled you over? Not because you were going so fast.
Yeah.
Because there was this, I remember you drove by me, there was this thing bouncing in the back of your car, because it through the headlight. I'm like, what the hell is that?
What the hell?
Like an extraterrestrial or something, this thing bouncing in the back of your car. I thought it was an unsecured rifle. So I'm like, I'm going to help those boys out. Seen this thing just bouncing around in the back of the car. I'm like, I gotta, they don't call me Eagle Eye for nothing.
Yeah.
So I pulled you over. I remember looked in and, my goodness, I could not believe what I saw. There was a prosthetic leg in the back of that car. You remember that? Your friend had that one leg.
Yeah, a friend of mine. Yeah.
You had a friend of yours had that one leg. I remember talking to you, trying to talk to him, because I thought maybe he was, you know, from Europe or something. I didn't know if he was from the States.
We like to jam that in the trunk where it's sticking out a little bit. It really freaked the other drivers,
Well, I'm going to tell you, you freaked me out, boy. You freaked me out. I peed myself. That's how freaked out I get. So I remember pulling you over, and you remember how long you stayed with us? Because we locked you up that night.
Because I missed a whole show, and it cost me a lot of money, and I'll never forget that.
Well, you know something? I'm going to tell you what. We make laws to protect people. And then those people that break the laws are put in jail to protect society. You understand what I'm saying? If A equals B and B equals C, then guess what A equals?
C, B, S.
No, my friend. No, you're getting y'all convoluted. No, A then equals. See you later. You're going to spend some time in jail. That's what it equals.
Yeah, I understand. I'm sorry. I stepped on
that.
That's
all right. But, you know, I think you learned your lesson, and I remember I remember you blowing, as you entertainment folk call it, blowing through our town again because you were going back and forth. And we had an opportunity to you invited us to the show next time we pulled you over. Now
you're
a big star.
Oh, that was part of the
package
that I offered you to keep me out of jail was a couple of
records
albums, a couple of passes to the show.
I can't be bought, but I'm going to tell you something. I definitely sold out. Sold out for the law, my friend.
Yeah.
Sold out for the law.
Yeah.
All my T's and Q's, T's and I's and dotted. Everything's dotted.
Yeah.
Everything's slashed.
Crossed and dotted, yeah.
But you, I'm gonna tell you something. Let me just regress. Let me just tell you, this guy, Tommy Dakota, I'm gonna tell you, one of the most talented performers that I'd ever had the opportunity to lock up.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna tell you something. This guy,
you locked up
even in the jail. I remember in the jail cell, you were singing, and I think my deputy. I started getting a little quivery, like his bottom lip started shaking. I'm like, "What are you doing, boy?" And he said, "Hey, that's some beautiful music.
Negro spirituals, as I recall. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. I said to myself, there is no way you're gonna cry in my jail cell because this guy's singing. Then you need to just snap out of it. So I hit him as hard as I could, right across his. They call it a tibia or something like that. It was a bone. I hit some bone so hard it broke, and he didn't cry about your music no more. He was crying about the pain because that was I had a club the size of a Louisville Slugger. I wasn't going to put up with that nonsense. But I'm just saying, you, sir, are an enigma, and I mean that in the best way possible because I just can't get you out of my mind. I can't get you out of my mind. You've been in my mind all this time. I think you do that to most people whose lives you do it.
I remember you well. Now that you told the story, it was one of the high points of my life. I remember the initials you had on your shirt, that KKK, and I asked you what it was, and you said it was the Colored Knights of Columbus. And I thought, oh, it's a fraternal thing. And I was so happy. I thought you were going to be easy on me. But, you know, I understand.
Man,
you're a professional lawman.
Brotherhood's tough to break. That's all I'm saying right there.
Yeah,
in a brotherhood,
completely.
You're in a fraternal order. Don't matter what order. Just as long as you ain't breaking the law, Tommy. Don't be breaking that law. Because I'm going to tell you, that law is dear and near to my heart.
I understand.
Anyway, listen, I want to tell you, brother, you keep doing what you're doing. And just keep on, all right.
Thank you,
Deputy. I got to run now. The missus is me. We're down here in Key West, and Hold on one second. I'm talking to Tommy Dakota, the boy I pulled over years ago. I told you that story. What? No, I'm not gonna. All right, you know what? She's getting out of the shower. She wants me to hold her while she gets that leg over the tub. I want to tell you something, Tommy. Thank you so much for so many years of it. Hold on one second. I'm coming right now, but I can't say goodbye to him. I can't say goodbye to him. I'm trying to say goodbye, for God's sake. All right, Tommy, I want to tell you, I got to hold on one more second. Hold on. I'm going to, hey, if you just stand there and turn the water off, you're not going to fall. You won't fall if you just stand there. All right, Tommy, I got to run, man. I was great talking to you. Y'all take care now.
Yay,
thank you. Thank you, Officer Sergeant. Thank you so much. Please call back in the future. Thank you. Wow.
What a blast from the past that was.
Yeah, I bet you never expected that one.
No, and he didn't mention his, he was very, he had great dexterity with fires, you know. Burning things.
With what?
No, garbage. Fire.
Oh,
fire.
Really?
He just, you know, he always had, you know, barbecues, campfires, crosses. Something was always burning on his property. He was a very interesting man. Scared the hell out of me. I thought he was going to be in jail forever.
Wow. Now, so you became, sounds like you bonded. I mean, the man's a fan now. Tommy? Don't tell me we lost Mr. Dakota. Listen, folks, that was quite a morning. Appreciate you tuning in. Please come back. I'm sure there's more to come. This is as this show continues. It of course the search engines are putting out there what they call the spiders, and the spiders are what reaching through, and they're finding more and more people are realizing Tommy is still alive. Please feel free to call in yourselves and have a most beautiful day. Frank, anything you want to add? What's your take on everything that happened this morning?
Well, I'm just like mesmerized and flummoxed.
Flummoxed.
I read that word the other day.
Flummoxed. Well, that's what, and we have to, please don't forget to tune in because we have to find out what happened to Tommy in that little low sink.
Oh.
Ooh. To be continued. Again, thank you so much, listeners, and please come back to Upbeat with Tom Hayes on Blog Talk Radio. That's it, Frank.
Let me introduce